Hello and welcome once again to the CGW Radio Podcast. This is the podcast for July 31st, 2006. I almost said 31st with a lisp.
Well, now you did.
And now I did. Great.
That's great.
July 31st, 2006, I am here with the editors of Computer Gaming World Magazine, and we have a big show today because we got hit with kind of a bombshell piece of news there yesterday, was it? Yesterday on Sunday, of all days, we discovered that E3 is going away. Cries. So so there's that to talk about. We'll have our usual round of what you playing. Darren is going to run us through some news bits to inspire and educate you. And we're going to have some reader mail, including one very special letter being read by our very special friend, Ralphie, who's going to be joining us later on. So that said, I am here with the editors of CGW, some of which include
Brian Scott,
Darren Gladstone,
Sean Elliott,
Sean Malloy.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Howdy.
Ryan, the kids want you to talk more this week. There wasn't enough Ryan last week, I think. That was your cue to say something. Jeez.
That's my response.
Okay, that's going to go well. Fans of Ryan, you have to yell louder at him because he's being stubborn.
He's got some big news this week.
He doesn't want to talk about it.
All right.
We don't talk about people's personal lives, Sean. We'll have to talk about your operation. Oh, talking about something different?
Just that he's
his EVE Online character is raking in a fortune.
Yeah, his EVE Online character can now, fly a Class B space frigate.
I got big news. I got these sexy new Italian leather motorcycle boots on. But aren't I hotter?
That is to hotness, man.
You feel nervous around me, don't you?
All inspiring. I'm just thankful that you actually have a motorcycle to justify buying those.
Yeah. Well, it runs on rubber bands, but still.
That was like a remember Ghost Rider.
Okay, no insidery.
All right.
Jokes. Okay, so we're gonna start off with what you're playing. I haven't played anything personally because I was down in LA seeing my freaking family this weekend. Love you, Mom. Ryan, what were you playing this past week?
Some more EVE Online.
Still got the love.
Ooh.
And my character is indeed capable of flying a. What did you say? A Class B frigate?
Yeah. Good guess.
Wow. So that's 3 weeks on this game.
So far,
I think you're beyond the experimentation phase.
So yeah. Are you officially hooked? Are you enjoying progress?
You guys are going steady now. Well,
right now, I'm me and one of my buddies from the CGW forum have like a mining operation going, which is about as exciting as it sounds.
Yeah. But is it like, you know, netting you cool loot or monies or something?
Whatever you get in that game.
We made a little bit of money over the weekend, so I got to jump back on, and I kind of disappeared for a couple days.
So is this like your main game right now?
Right now, yeah.
Guild Warsing for a while?
I haven't played Guild Wars since I started playing.
Wow.
Wow, that's
the game that kicked Ryan's Guild Wars habits.
Until the next expansion comes out.
Mm-hmm. That should be on the EVE Online box, you know?
Ryan Scott says.
All right, the game that made me stop playing Guild Wars.
Awesome.
And there's your free advertisement.
Darren, you, sir?
It was an awesome weekend. I went whitewater rafting, so I didn't get much chance to play games.
What's that?
Outdoors, oxygen,
outside?
Sunlight. But
I played that game at Dave and Buster's.
Tubin?
It's got the big like paddle that you
can do. Yeah. I've done that. I have been playing a lot of back on the freeware kick. And everyone out there listening, you got to check out this game called The Blob. It's a 100 meg download. It's kind of like Katamari Damacy-ish, but it's totally free. It's worth checking out.
With a little bit of Mario Sunshine thrown
just
in.
Just a little bit.
What's the URL?
It's one of those obscure things. I don't have a URL handy. But
just Google freeware.
Google freeware game and The Blob.
That won't turn up any porn, will it?
Nah. Maybe. Unfortunately not. If it does, I don't want to know.
Unless you've got like your...
I don't know who showed up on that.
Your block all BBW site filter turned off.
Okay. Mr. Elliot, are you playing anything these days?
I'm back to BF2 again. Just been polishing up my helicopter pilot skills. I play with a real good gunner and we just work on the TV missile coordination and stuff, take out jets with it and this and that. And
how many hours are you up to at this point?
I don't know. I think we probably just passed over 500 now.
Wow.
Damn.
And it's like, I mean, we have some people on our forums who are just talking about how much they hate about the game. And it's so true. It's like, I hate the game more than anything, but I love it more than anything. It's like, it's gone a full year. And for all the complaining, it's just still because I only complain because I care so much about it.
I really don't remember that the original Battlefield 1942 getting this much complaints, though, all the time.
Oh, it did. There were so many patches on it. Yeah, I mean, you would have had to have followed it, but there were so many patches. And it was like when they patched out initial things like, you know, C4ing the Jeeps so you could get them to launch far enough to practically get you out to the carriers and stuff. I mean, it was like the end of the world for some people, you know. It was kind of the same stuff you get in any hardcore multiplayer game, like when tweaked the parameters for strafe jumping or bunny hopping in Team Fortress, and Valve did that. A lot of guys that spent all their time working on those skills and finally developed them said, ah, it's over, it's done. So, I mean, there's always that. But I do wonder, you know, actually, I can't say. One of the persistent problems with BF2 now is still the server browser and whatnot. And I think that's just not DICE's strong suit. I mean, it was horrible and is still horrible in 42.
What about that autoloader? I mean,
the
autoloader
is great. And there's a 1.4 patch coming out for Battlefield 2. And unfortunately, they have to do their own work on their side to keep up with the patches. And as of now, I don't think they're caught up. So
that's too bad.
I think they didn't even bother with 1.3 because it has so many persistent crash bugs. But maybe when 1.4 comes out any day now, the beta's already out. You can get it on FileFront if you guys want
to. I wonder if the DICE guys are talking to the autoloader guys, because it just seems like that's a much better interface.
Yeah, they're well aware of the problem. I mean, one of the big things that they keep underscoring for 2142 is that, hey, the server browser is 600 times faster. You can have friends lists. You can have favorites. All the things you expect. But it's really odd to think that there's a game, an entirely multiplayer game like Battlefield 2 in 2005, 2006, and it doesn't even have a friends list. It doesn't have that's just insane when you can get that stuff on
Yahoo Messenger.
And in any console game where it's clearly the multiplayer is an afterthought or something thrown in to fill up the last few months of development cycle. But, I mean, this is a game that's all about that, and it doesn't have a friends list. So dumb. But so they know it. They insist they're working on it, so hopefully this will be the last.
So it'll be in 2142.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
so then the bummer is that you have to play 2142.
Burn. Ouch. I mean, and here I thought I was gonna be mean saying, and 600 times better than nothing is still nothing, but
wow.
Oh.
Mr. Malloy.
I'm actually playing the movies.
Really?
Yeah, I stole it from Ryan's office and the expansion pack from Sean's office before I left for the week.
Way to go.
Yeah.
So what are you making? What movies are you making?
I haven't made any movies. I'm just doing the simulation part now.
That's like the bad part.
No. Yeah, it is kind of boring. Like, I've been playing it and going, it kind of plays itself almost. Like, there's no question about what you should be doing next. You're just like, oh, okay, now I lay down this building because I need this building next. So I just got the building that lets you make your own scripts.
Awesome.
Which is the part I was kind of interested in, because I watched a couple on the Lionhead site that were kind of cool. Like, I didn't know a video game could actually do this kind of thing, kind of way.
Do you ever get tempted to, like, look for hacks online so you could just unlock all the stuff and create your own movies?
I probably
That's cheating, Dan.
They definitely need that, especially if you want to go in and just use it as a tool to create stuff.
Yeah, because right now, there might be a free play mode or something like that.
Well, I think the free
or a sandbox mode.
Well,
or
I think the way the sandbox mode works, if you want to just make movies, is that you have to actually like unlock some of the stuff in the sim game.
Oh, you still have to do that.
Yeah. Cheater.
And if we're getting this wrong, neither Darren nor I reviewed the game, so don't yell at us. The guy who did.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't play that one, because it sounds so fun to make the movie making part.
It's been on my to playlist for a while, so I finally just said I'm going to steal it and play it.
Yeah, so you should post your movie online for everyone to see.
There's a
weird, it'll be awesome,
kind of apathy or something that might prohibit the that sort of thing in those games. So I was thinking Battlefield 2's got the BF2 TV recorder,
right?
And I was thinking of how every time I play. We should record this. It's like you just never do. Same thing. I was wondering, a lot of people play the movies and stuff, and they're like, we could do this and we could do that. And then they just,
for whatever reason.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of clips out there.
Yeah, there definitely are. But I mean, probably should be a lot more, right?
Yeah, well, it's the movie making part of it seems so disconnected from the actual game, at least the little I've played of it. That it's just like, okay, now I got the custom script office, but I don't really have to use it. So it's like a completely different part of the game.
It's like a separate game.
And something. I'm wondering how, like, the quote critics, unquote, like that review the game, you know, the movies within the game, like, judge you, like, because you know, you make money based on how good the movies are.
Hopefully they're a little more professional than game critics.
So, it's just how much crap
sorry,
you've got.
I don't know why I said that.
The more props you've got in your production,
if it's just
the
that.
Higher your score.
Yeah, I wonder if they like know like if you're connecting different scenes correctly.
Right.
Like,
could you send them tchotchkes and stuff? You know, like the game companies do with us.
There's a I haven't built the PR department.
Here's my
yet.
Movie clip, and here's a plastic sword that says, you know, Guild Wars on it.
Here's a
PR department.
Whatever.
And then I played some WoW.
Some WoW.
Yeah, of course.
I'm kind of back
now
at the WoW.
My Warlock.
Yeah.
Just for taste.
Every time there's a new, like, controversial patch or whatever announcement, it always makes me play again.
We're getting pulled back in.
Pulled back in.
Just got my Infernal pet.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
We still need to have our office launch game of the ship.
Oh, yeah, the ship. We haven't done that still.
Yet.
One of our readers is asking
about
that. I know
some of you
loaded
it, but need to do it.
I'll do that when I get back from the, you know, executive boondoggle in Napa.
All right.
While you peons are still working.
Oh, and I've got enjoy the wine, by the way.
Huh?
Even I've got the ship.
Yeah, I downloaded it. So we all have it now? We just haven't played it.
So ready to go.
We got communication problems here. We all have this game, and we haven't played it together.
Yeah. Hey, it was hard enough getting you and Darren on land to play Prey. Multi-Prey.
Really?
You know what? That was kind of fun, the multi-Prey.
Yeah, it was fun.
Except for you.
You were whoring the... Who was whoring the space coffin? Was Darren?
Wait, the space coffin?
Yeah, that flying fucking toboggan.
Yeah, I kind of
the
was.
Toboggan.
Yeah. Whoa, hello.
Whoa, whoa, the flying...
Don't say toboggan.
Fracking toboggan.
Yeah, that thing seemed a little bit of a cheat.
I don't know. I mean...
I was
well, considering how few maps there are.
You know what I was doing at the end there was I would just get into that ship and I would fly way up to the top of the level.
You wait, and then you see a sign of movement and then start dropping rain and hell on him. And you see him running like all dunk.
It's just another form of lurking or camping.
Yeah. Need something good to take that out.
You do. You need like a big like rocket launcher.
You can get like the equivalent of the lightning gun, you know, with the alt fires to pull in the energy sources. And when you get the white energy flow, that worked pretty well on that thing.
Yeah.
But it's not like the sniper rifle in that game will get you a one shot one kill a hit in the space coffin or whatever, you know.
Not in that, with that thing.
Yeah. Easily, you know, like lean around the corner and take it out. It didn't work that way.
Yeah, it was fun, but I didn't really feel like going back to it.
I thought it was pretty cool. Some of the other levels we played actually had a little had more setups where you could use your spirit walking power, where you could activate shields and whatnot and hide behind them and basically. Go get a few hits in with your spirit and then pop a shield and come through. And yeah, there's some potential in there. I am hearing that online already it's totally a savant's game, which I mean you've got people that are really good and that's it. Everyone else is go to hell. You know?
Yeah. That's what online game isn't like that.
I don't know. I don't know.
What online shooter like says, welcome, newbie.
Right.
We won't shoot you.
Somewhere
get a feel for the map first. We won't frag you.
Right. But the difference is I think you can have games where like Battlefield where you're not the best and you're going to jump in and there's enough people and you can get points doing something other than just killing someone. You might have the luck of getting in a vehicle that's going to give you an advantage. Yeah. Say, if you suck and you get in a tank, you're at least going to be able to kill a few people, unless you're completely.
So it's a combination of having enough room to operate, enough vehicles, enough moving targets to give you a chance to move around a little.
But in a deathmatch game like that, with that few players, you get a good cycle going, and once you're in the lead, you've always got 200% health, 200% armor. You've got all the access to the best weapons. You're running a loop, so you're catching them every time they respawn and locking other players out from them, And it's like, you don't get a point for repairing some dude's truck and still feel like, I'm not that good, but at least I accomplished something. You're like, you're just there to get, and I'm not talking about, I'm not bitter. It's not my own experience. It's just what I've heard. And it's like, I do know the experience from other games where, you know, you ever play Quake 3 Arena and you're on like a one shot, one kill railgun level with no fall damage. And so it's nothing but rail jumping and like insta-jib. those will humble you real fast. But anyhow.
Okay, should we head on to events? of the week.
Event of yesterday. The big,
yes.
the big one,
which started as a scoop by a Next Gen, and then it got other sites kind of said, no, that isn't what happened, and now it turns out that kind of is what happened, which is that Entertainment Software Association, the ESA, has decided to pull the plug on E3 as we know it. And that comes from...
It sounds like it was a decision that they made in reality. I mean, this decision
was foisted upon them by the publishers, who basically said, screw this, we're done with this, which is about 5 or 6 years overdue. Mm-hmm. And what I've been hearing is that EA pulled out first,
followed by Sony, then
it was a house of cards after that.
And we've been hearing this on our side of things for years now. I mean, constantly it's been nothing but complaints about diminishing returns from EA and this and that, you know.
It costs millions, literally millions of dollars for a game company to set up shop at this trade show.
It is a money black hole.
They feel like when they go in there, say if you're someone with the clout of EA, their alternative is to have their own private press event where they can control the focus. They don't have to worry about the white noise of all these other games.
Right.
You know, not even competing with their own games. They could say, hey, we're just going to show you these five this month and something else. And then also, who's getting the time? Like, say maybe, you know, we've been in there and we're like, you know, we have that sense of entitlement. We're like, hey, we're just here to work. Let us get some time to talk to someone and get out of here. But then half the time, you don't know who's in there anymore. You know, it's a lot of people. It's really easy to sneak in. And it's
seriously,
so
on our
end,
we've known
fury
that this has been of no use to us for years.
Right.
And they've had the pre E3 events anyway.
More and more.
It's totally pointless. I mean, a company like EA, they spend, $5 million on that booth. And then after that, they're spending. They fly in journalists, or we drive down for the day, and we hang out and check out all their games, and it's just cost and time. It turns like E3, which is supposed to be like a week in May, it turns into like a 3-month procedure.
Well, once one company started with the pre E3 thing, where we're a captive audience for their own
games.
Stuff, then all the other companies started to see how successful that was.
Wasn't Microsoft?
I think it was Microsoft with the GameStop. A few years ago, and now E3 starts basically in April for us. Mm. By the time E3 actually rolls around, we've seen everything that's going to be cool. You know, maybe they'll hold one or two surprises off for us behind closed doors. But then those are the things that we can't even write about. So, I don't know. I mean, it's always a great... I mean, face it, it's great to like go down to L.A. and just screw around for
a
week.
Right. Down there.
That part's fun. But, you know, as a... practical, productive event.
This has got to be a real time to let out the sigh of relief for anyone in online media.
Because
instead of for them, it could all happen in a big flurry of activity around that same time frame, but it's going to be stretched out. Hey, 2 days later, there's this. Maybe next week, Activision's got something. Instead of the whole, here are 3 days, get everyone on staff writing like gibberish,
those guys were just machines. I mean, at least we had the luxury of saying, yeah, when we get back to San Francisco, we'll write the stuff up.
Right.
Maybe.
You know, the only thing that scares me as a result of this is that some show like GDC could become the next E3. And I actually find that GDC is like the most useful show where I get a chance to like hang out, talk to developers.
Right. But I don't think it really
is. I hope not. Because that's the whole thing is the developers want to get out of the everyone showing their hand at once scenario.
Mm-hmm. That makes total sense. You know, it's totally ridiculous.
I think we're not going to miss it. You know, it's going to be really. And think of all the time wasted by the developers to have to get ready for the damn show. Mm-hmm. Get your E3 build ready.
Yeah, that's such an invasive process to stop development, now we have to put together the demo. Let's polish everything up.
Right. So you can't actually work on the game. You've got to work on the build to show the game critics at E3 so they get the best of E3 award.
Right.
That's the other thing that's going to die.
Just the whole notion of awards at E3.
Thank God.
Oh, thank you. Awards, seriously, that is so overdone.
For a trade show, you know.
Yeah. Awards for like the shiniest production.
It's all marketing. Just another excuse to get people's labels on boxes.
I was in that little committee, that little game critics committee, and I hated it the whole time. I thought it was the biggest bogus.
Yeah,
you know,
we had the loudest booth with the flashiest demo.
It was all about just getting a box quote.
Right.
I couldn't tell you how many times, like right after the show, people were calling me asking, "Okay, so when's your E3 coverage going to hit?" I'm like, Are you looking for an E3? We're not going to do an E3 branded story. We wound up not doing it, which I'm really
glad. We did to be timely with the show.
Well, right.
What was happening is if we had done it, it would have been 2 months
late. Right, but I'm just saying,
so
we
did
had,
it in advance.
But we did an opinionated preview beforehand. But
right.
Like, there were so many other magazines. If you open up any, open up your Game Informer, PC Gamer, whatever, they have these post E3 reports things.
And right. Everyone had the same feature like 2 months after E3.
Right.
Hence
in
the lead
August,
time, you know,
reading about.
And everyone has the
waste.
Same, you know,
best
here it is.
Whatever.
Here's your E3 experience and this and that.
We got drunk and went to parties.
Yay. Yeah.
Those are always fun to read.
Yeah, I guess the one thing I'm kind of just, I was looking, thinking back about it, I was like 12 years ago. And
sorry. Playing with the Velcro on my
boot.
What
is that?
But, scratching
oh, that's
up
what that
the,
was?
Yeah,
was like
sorry.
Something. Jeff playing with his new toy. No, I'll just wrap this up. So really quick, just like my thought was like 12 years ago when they started doing E3, it was a direct result of like the game industry saying, hey, we're being treated like the redheaded stepchildren of CES. It was like the game industry and what? The porn industry were put off in some other hall. And not that I mind that. I actually enjoyed that part. But...
Ryan sits up now.
Now the porn show happens. It still happens the same time as CES. It's got its own convention.
Exactly. Well, the point was like E3 was kind of an offshoot saying, hey, we're going to do our own thing now.
Right.
And now E3, I mean, the whole point of it then was just say, hey, we're legitimate. And I think we've pretty much established we are legitimate. So
yep.
The whole need for the show is gone.
Yeah, that's, I agree. That's
good point, Darren.
Yes.
Holy cow, I have a good point?
The hell did
good
that
riddance,
happen?
E3, good riddance.
Maybe we'll
so good
sure.
riddance, E3
More
is
games.
What we say here.
It's going to, and ultimately, yes. I think the big people that pulled out of it immediately, in their perspective, it's going to equal more meaningful coverage for them, which they see as promotional material.
Right.
So, say again, for example, like you've got, I don't know, Game X, and instead of showing it at E3 and having people give it the obligatory coverage, just with the mentality is like, hey, if it's there, we've got to do something on it.
Yeah.
This way, it comes out at a time when maybe it's one of the few releases announced that week. More people mm-hmm. are going to like,
and,
it,
and it'll
to
be
check
at a time
out.
When maybe there's actually really something to talk about.
Put it forward.
Other than we saw it at the show and we saw two screens. Mm-hmm. Now we can just write an article when it's relevant.
The hard thing for us, I think if you want to do anything that's worthwhile, neither of those scenarios, either the E3 trade show or the events that are specific to the publisher, are very good places for us to be journalists, you know?
Right.
They're places to go and write promotional copy where you go in and get mm-hmm. the dog and pony show. They tell you exactly what mm-hmm. they want you to hear. Everyone hears the same thing.
Snacks, though.
As opposed to us going in, you know, like if we got to go in on our own time and sit down with the people for a day, pick their brains,
uh-huh.
hang out with them, talk to them, not be, you know, shepherded through the turnstiles and, hey, take 5 minutes on this and hear mm-hmm. the same, you know, pre-programmed speech that we're going to drop on everyone else. So it's like, I don't know, but that's our own thing. We'll make the good ones happen.
Well, I think if you do go on those like those day trips, let's say you go to an EA day and you know whatever, instead of you sitting in a room with 30 other journalists from different publications, I hold like personally when I sit in those meetings, I don't ask the questions I want to ask because I'm not going to give my questions.
That's
over
the other
to someone
thing
else.
Too. Yeah, there, mm-hmm. how many times
but you always
all
get
of
those
us...
great questions from the other web journalists?
You know? Yeah,
the German guys are always great. You know,
how many classes are there?
How many levels?
Right.
Yeah, like
how many types of guns do I get to shoot?
Or like you see the frame rate, they're like the first thing they're like, okay, this is a look at whatever, you know, say it was a couple years ago, UT 2007. They're like, this isn't going to be coming out for another 2 years. First question, is that what the frame rate's going to be when it finally comes out? Yes.
This seems like it's running a little slow.
Yeah. That's the thing I got to make fun of real quick.
Yeah, it's
for a fun aside. Because you see... There's always this comment in a preview about frame rate now and then, and I think it's mm-hmm. like this attempt. This is me being a pissed off, disgruntled previews editor, but it's an attempt of a bad writer or a writer who's just being lazy to say, okay, you know what? This really does read like ad copy, but here's my chance to inject some skepticism or something.
Yeah.
But it's as dumb as like, imagine if you're reading a preview in Entertainment Weekly for King Kong, and it's like, you know, on the set now, Jack Black's running around in front of this green blanket, but we have every reason to believe that when this comes out in 2006, King Kong will be behind him. You know, it's like, who cares? Shut up about the frame
rate. But the green blanket looked pretty good.
I mean, you could talk about what is this... I mean, like, you know, like maybe there's something that you're already seeing in the way the game's put together that's got you worried or something. You know, the design, other ideas, you know, what the... There are all these other entry points to, if you really want to be critical about it, that you can use. But the frame rate stuff,
that's
just
it's like
cop out.
It's
you know?
A, it's the way to actually say you're being critical when you're looking at a preview.
Or a way to
this game look awesome. Of course, the frame rate's a little down, but we're sure they're going to get it together.
Here's hoping. they pull it together by the time it's released in November 2006.
If they can do X and Y, then Z.
See, we're getting catty now.
Would never do that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not gonna add to that right now. But I'm reading through a. I wouldn't even say. A
computer. No, don't even go there.
All right,
man.
Never mind.
One other last thing on the E3 thing. It's like we're clearly not concerned about it at all, other than the party week is going to be a little different.
That sucks.
But the one thing I was like, theoretically, I was talking to Sean about this earlier, Sean Malloy, and it's just that normally, if you heard that instead of a big, widely accessible, you know, press conference type thing, you're going to have all these smaller things that are a little more exclusive and intimate. Mm-hmm. You'd worry if it's a situation like, you know, Dick Cheney only offering interviews to Fox or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But the thing is I think where a lot of these, and I don't want to crap on everyone, but where a lot of the small gaming sites and stuff like that are out there, and you would say, well, maybe it's going to be more difficult for them to get information now because they're not able to just go to E3 and they're not going to be able to fly out seven times to seven different mini shows. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there's not so much, you know, I see a lot of soft stuff on the sort of soft writing on the smaller sites too. You know what I'm saying? I guess it's like the difference of kind of having an exclusive press conference and blackballing like a Dissident or a Chomsky or something like that. And then opposed to like, if you're just going there to write about how everyone needs to buy this game and, you know, this and that and the other thing. I don't know. I guess what I'm really getting to is like, let's see, I want to challenge anyone who writes about games is to just exercise their critical muscle, you know, go in there and think about what they're doing.
You know, actually, one of the things I know this is the topic that's never going to end, but the only people who really lose out from this are the guys in Kensha Hall or the smaller developers that want to get their stuff discovered.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Well, the thing is they gain exposure. I mean, like, the journalists are there to cover the big stuff, and everyone takes a day down and they go down to Kensha Hall and they just check out. I mean, I go there actually, that's my first stop every year. I go to Kensha Hall and I look for, like, the underdogs, the games that might come to the States.
Right, because those are the guys that would have a hard time getting our attention.
Right.
Elsewhere.
We're not going to go to a special day for, you know, some...
Right. And if they tried to arrange to come into our office and they said they had a mouse pad that you know, sat on top of your head and glowed...
I would buy that.
Yeah,
by
yeah. Look at, but maybe if we see it in action at Kentia, we want to see it.
I mean, maybe that's what the show is going to turn into. I mean, here's the spin doctoring that the ESA sent out a press release today and was saying basically, let me see... E3 is evolving into a more intimate event focused on targeted, personalized meetings and activities. I mean, obviously, they're doing damage control.
Right, they're doing damage control.
But it sounds like E3 is turning into Kensha Hall.
That's what it sounds like, yeah. That's exactly it.
If they even have any events, which we really don't even know now. I mean, they're spin doctoring today.
Right.
But, you know...
This could be let's take some time apart you get before the all right, we're through.
Yeah, I think they're
just separation
space. Right, and a month from now when they're standing inside the LA Convention Center going, guys, does anyone want to be here?
There's like a tumbleweed rolling through.
Right, then they'll say, okay, E3 is actually canceled.
And this is pretty much how Comdex died, pretty much, with a whimper.
And, you know, one other thing, actually, from our end of things, what it's going to mean
that's
is
what
that
Microsoft
the June,
context,
you know, the way our magazine cycle for the 12 months kind of revolves around E3 as well, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always the big covers are always sort of like December, January, but it's also June, right? Mm-hmm. Every publisher always, can we get the E3 cover?
The June cover.
That'll be gone now, which is kind of liberating.
Could be.
Yeah, because that's right, because the publishers are always saving that stuff up, and it's like, why force us to like do it at this one time a year when we can like totally use these stories?
We'll start getting calls in January. Can we have the E3 cover?
I already got calls for the next E3 cover.
Well, guess what?
Cancel.
Yeah, you can have it now.
All yours.
Okay, so are we done with that topic? Goodbye, E3. Goodbye. So long.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Right.
What about all the kids out there that have had the lifelong dream of going to E3, though, now? Now it's...
We just made them all cry.
It's crushed.
Yeah. And, you know, the first time you go, it is fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fun every time. Just the spectacle of it. That part's fun. But as a useful business event.
Where are we going to see women, though, now? Where are we ever going to see another woman?
Oh, my God.
Do they have them on the internet?
I think they might.
I heard about that.
Ryan?
I just got to turn that BBW filter off.
I think so. Man, you guys ever, like, the last day at E3, it'll be like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. You'll be walking out, and some kid will be, "Are you leaving? Can I have your badge?" Has that ever happened to you guys?
What did you do? Did you give it to him?
Hell no.
Why not, man?
Because they're all like on his wall now. They're like,
"I had to fight to get in here. And if you're going to get in, you're going to have to do the same." I'll just give it
Ryan
to him.
Ryan probably was one of those guys back in the day.
Go in there, kid.
Fighting to get in.
No maybe you'll get yourself a free bag of crap.
Yeah. You did?
I worked video game retail.
Oh, that's right. So you were an EB jockey, so you kind of like used that retailer cred?
Not that I don't, you know, like humanity or anything, but I would always get kind of annoyed when I would see, you know, civilians in E3.
I don't mind civilians.
Civilians.
Yeah. Civilians that would wash. That's important.
Civilians there's
wash.
A pretense
the
that
the shower
a,
would help.
Yeah. Last year, there's a pretense that it was a trade show, but there were so many non-trade people
I've seen kids
I mean,
there,
what's
man.
Cool about it is when you see civilians in there, they look genuinely excited as opposed to the rest of us. However, when you're actually trying to do your job in there, which we really do have jobs in this business, and it's hard when you got, you know, 8,000 people going, "Oh, look, there's another Madden coming out." And, you know, you can't get through the crowd.
You know what? Even half
I'm sorry.
Half
that was a little misanthropic.
It's like you're the guy that lives on Lombard Street and you're trying to get to work, but then you can't because your street's full of all the looky-loos.
Right.
Even half the people, even half the people who are supposed to be there don't act like they should. There's a couple years ago, I think it was E3 2005, where I was hanging out at the Ziff Davis booth, which was in the big hall where Sony and Nintendo were.
Right.
And it was right before the doors opened on the first day. I'm standing there, and you know the doors open. I see this flood of people. Just like running toward me. Like, where are they all going? I turn to look behind me, and they're all just making a beeline for Nintendo. Just running like a dinosaur chasing them or something.
Yeah.
It was,
I'll throw down some Caltrans.
That's kind of
it was the weirdest thing.
I know. That does amaze me. I mean, but it's kind of a cool thing about the industry.
Each year, there's like a designated sort of like douche identity badge, and this last year it was the inflatable a bodyboard from WebZen.
It was WebZen. Yeah,
inflatable WebZen bodyboard. So you see people outside the convention center. It's like it's LA in the summer, so it's a good, you know, 90 something degrees, and you know that inflatable vinyl, how hot it gets, right? And these obese backs were already sweating, and so you see them like just dripping with these things. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to, like, go surfing down the escalator in the E3 thing? And the year before, it was the Guild Wars cape that on some people looked like a napkin. I'm not lying. Like, it was because were so massive, like, that it made a cape what would normally be, like, Ryan, you could, like, turn into a sleeping bag. It looked like a napkin on some of these fools.
No, actually, the one that I thought was, like, last year's, I think, was the Age of Conan inflatable sword. That was it for me. Because then you start seeing these two dumbasses like, you know, dueling with their inflatable swords.
They should send the police around there. And if the moment you accept one of those, they just take you out. Like, you have to
shoot
leave.
You.
actually,
they take you out behind the convention center.
No, actually, they
on behalf of humanity.
they
put you down.
They trank them and then tag them.
Release them back, into the wild.
Yeah.
Don't do it again, you freaking dork.
They can't leave you alone.
Okay. So we're going to move on to Darren's news.
A greatly condensed Darren's news this time. Wait. Never mind. Wow. And speaking of that, speaking about The Price is Wrong, MMO cross-dressing is dismissed in a Reuters report.
What?
That's right. MMO players aren't gender confused. They're just looking to score points. So
they haven't talked to us.
So, Jeff, would you care to...
Actually, they did. I was
well.
I was
the that's
that
the that, that's the really exactly that's the really short version of the
you
story.
You can actually let Ralphie read the Reuters comment.
All right, hey Ralphie, okay. Come on in, Ralph.
Hello, Ralphie,
I thought Ralphie was going to talk to us later. Okay, come on in.
You know he wants
ready,
in on this
he's
one.
Ready.
When men appear as buxom, scantily clad females in video games like World of Warcraft, it's more about winning than finding an outlet for a real-world affinity for gender bending. It has nothing to do with the exploration of sexual identity, says Brenda Braithwaite, a game developer who delved into the subject for her new book, Sex in Video Games. So again, what they said is just because I play a female
Wood elf doesn't mean that I want to be a transvestite.
But is that how you do you think that that's right? Or do you want to be?
It's not right. I know some people that do, but I just like to play it because it looks good on my screen. You might have seen on the internet, Google Video, there's a video of me and my character when my roommate caught me watching it.
That was a good one.
I've seen that one.
I saw that video. You looked a little embarrassed, Ralphie. Actually, you got kind of mad.
They even brought that up.
So they quoted you in this story.
They did quote me in that story.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what'd you say?
Well, I said that kind of duh. I mean, I don't know. The story mm-hmm. was a little
seemed kind of like a non-issue, but
dog bites man kind of story. I mean, yes, it was about, I mean, somehow somebody in the mainstream media said, oh my God, there's these online games and there's men playing them as women. Yeah.
Well, it's like saying, I mean, how? Scary. Why is this new? It's like, did we all become trannies when Tomb Raider came out?
Yes.
You know? I mean,
no. I
mean, that was only for a Halloween costume, but I swear that only was a one-time thing.
Yeah. My wife still likes my Lara Croft outfit.
Yeah, I think
I say that out loud.
I think most of it's just,
I think I heard it.
Pick a girl because you like, you're looking at the girl for the whole time you're playing, so you might as well look at something you quote like. Unquote.
Right. I mean, what I said in the article was that, you know, my experience, and I had written about it a long time ago in CGW, was that when I played a female character in EverQuest, I actually found that I would get, you know, like more help on quests. People would give me free stuff. I'd get loot just because I looked cute.
So that would mean that people are assuming that you are a woman, even though there's
exactly.
This
or hot
obvious
elf in real
truth
life.
That they're all men.
Yeah.
Maybe this is informing people playing that they should stop giving free stuff to the female players.
Well, I guess I said that in the article too, is that like, even though I know most of the people playing are guys, when I see a female character in a game like WoW, I think my initial gut reaction is, oh, there's a female player. Mm-hmm. But then if I stop and think about it, I realize, no, it's actually probably just another fat 40-year-old guy. You know, so remind me not to flirt with him.
I think at least the way that it's summarized here, Brandon Braithwaite's book sounds like it has a really reductive outlook on things, though, because while clearly it's the case that not everyone who plays a character of the opposite gender in a game mm-hmm. is doing it to explore, they might just be doing it for cosmetic or stats reasons or something. But I think, obviously, so it doesn't necessarily have nothing to do with it, because certainly there are right. some people who do it. Maybe they're
right.
another way around too. Maybe there are women who are like, I don't want to have to. I'm objectified
sure.
all day long. Now I get to do something. I don't have to worry about that. I don't
right.
know. I can do this or that. So it's like not saying that all.
So
women
maybe
do
it's
that,
actually some.
But if a few do it,
female
it's,
gamers as males who are pinching my female elven ass in games
could
as
be.
A way to get back.
Could be. So
of course
I mean,
like it.
if that's harassment, I like yeah. it.
And even if you
harass
are,
me more.
And I think even if you are, say you're playing a female character, and you at least note, you're like, these people seem to want me in their party a little more than when I had like that dwarf tank, you know, or like
right.
they
yeah.
they're giving me a more. I mean, it's not like you're doing some crazy out there stuff, but you're still doing some exploration
right.
of sexual identity. You're
well,
at least
you are.
Noting that like there
sure.
there are different, you know, ways of interacting.
Well, I would never let on if I felt someone was like, you know, giving me stuff because I was quote unquote female. Mm-hmm. I would never say, hey, actually, I'm a dude. You want that, you know, you want that leather armor back?
As opposed to Robert Coffey, who totally encourages
well,
that.
Well, yeah,
behavior.
Robert Coffey encouraged it. The only thing that annoyed
so,
me when
hey, he
I was.
He can respond. He can write his own book.
Yeah. But what annoyed me, though, in EverQuest when with that going on was like guys who had come up like while I was soloing and like wanted like give me advice or help me while I'm like mm-hmm. fighting. You know, because a girl wouldn't know how to fight, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you might want to try, you know, hitting her harder there, little lady. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff.
Might want to try cutting up.
Have we all created female characters in online games
yeah.
here at this round table?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did in Guild Wars. The chicks are hot in that game.
Yeah,
that's
especially.
Sad.
I did in City of Heroes because Robert had that whole, that
little women guild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ordinarily, though, I don't.
Wait, you were, Ryan, you were in a guild called Little Women?
Yeah. It was a superhero.
We were all in
the guild. No, actually, that was
women.
The joke.
I wasn't.
Well, it was before you showed up.
We didn't invite you.
Don't say we were all in the guild called Little Women, dude.
Okay.
Except for Sean Elliott.
Yeah. Except for Sean Elliott.
Except for manly Sean Elliott. Actually, you know, Brenda Braithwaite is a pretty smart
woman. I was in the
woman.
Big Man Guild.
The Big Man Guild. No, I mean,
the Bear
she's
Club.
She's a pretty cool person, and I mean, I don't want to I'm just saying I don't want to like diss her book
right
in public.
Well, who knows? Like hot. I said, that's just one quote from it too. I mean, I. Nice. Although, like, yeah. Again, I'm not going to back down when it when saying it has nothing to do with the exploration of sexual identity is a bit reductive. I mean, right. Like, if you I read agree. Other accounts, like, I'm already forgetting her name, but the, what was the name of the, exploring something?
Exploring.
I did an interview about her book a while ago, but anyway, there are several accounts in there of both women and men who were playing characters of opposite genders.
Oh,
and,
right, okay.
You know, mm-hmm. while it's not like, you know, gender bending in the way you're thinking of it, you know, mm-hmm. necessarily in the real world sense, they're definitely taking stuff away from it, lessons learned, and this.
You
and
really
that.
Just don't right. want to carry
wasn't that
it too
the story
far.
About you know? Wookiee from Galaxies?
No,
no.
Oh, okay. Although that would apply too.
She, yeah, she, absolutely.
Yeah, I knew. I mean, I was basically just doing it just for the heck of it, but I knew it had gotten too far when before I would log on that request, I would actually dress up in some of my wife's clothing while I played and talk in a falsetto whenever she came into the room. So that. That's when, you know, I knew I'd, you know, and she would come in and ask if I was okay, and I'd say, I really wish she'd leave me alone, and how do I look in these heels, by the way? Does this make my butt look big?
Ryan, you look like you feel uncomfortable.
Ryan looks a little uncomfortable right now.
Ryan's ready to take off his headset. Screw this.
Hey, Ryan, did you get tan? You just turned red all of a sudden.
This was his, he told
So I think the word nothing in that quote is what's...
Yeah, that's...
I'm hanging on that one, too. It's kind of...
Yeah, it has nothing to do. Right. Yeah. It has something to
there
do.
Might, in some cases, there it might be something.
The subtitle of the book, yay. By the way, is Dude, It's a Dude, Dude. Sex and Video Games, Dude.
It's a Dude, Dude, Dude.
Dude, dude.
What else do we have there, Darren?
You know what? I'll just – let me get really quick one here. So I was just reading up on some random stuff recently, and there's this you know, after all the recent debates and how, you know, video games are evil and Congress mm-hmm. is on a rampage, Dr. Kimberly Thompson of Harvard University supposedly found during an independent analysis that the ESRB didn't identify all violence in games, and that according to the study, Pac-Man is 64% violent.
Mm.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm just like
64% violent.
Well, yeah, let me see there. It celebrates obesity as this guy runs around the maze eating all the time. I don't know.
Is that violence?
Is that violence?
That must be the other 36%.
You're eating the other ghosts.
Yep.
And the ghosts attack
wow.
you. Yeah, I don't even know where to go with
we
that.
We don't know that these dots he's eating aren't alive.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing is that the ESRB, I mean, saying that the ESRB, like, doesn't identify all the violence in it. Hello, it's like, I mean, we've known for a long time that when they do have their panel to assess what the score of a game should be. All they're reviewing is a clip of footage that the publisher has put together for them.
And they get a list.
They're not
like,
playing in a list of stuff. They're not playing through on their own and seeing, you know, what does it feel like to go, say this mission is go and kill this gang member. They're not playing it and saying, like, what's the level of emotional investment in this scene, you know? Like,
right.
It's, mm-hmm. And then sometimes stuff's not mentioned. Other times, I mean, who knows? It's just such a crapshoot anyway.
And in fact, if they knew the emotional investment of Pac-Man, they might have scored it even more violent.
Yeah, especially.
That's right.
Man, there's I almost had content. A high score.
Yeah.
They clearly meet and then have a baby.
So this is a kind of another man bites or dog bites.
Exactly.
Story,
it's kind of one of those, aside from like the E3 kind of like being the big news story of the day.
So the other big stories to sum up are that some men play as women in role-playing games,
still
and the ESRB
it.
Rates games stupidly.
It's not like anybody,
wow. Come to CGW for your hardcore news.
It's not like anybody paid attention to the ESRB anyway.
Well, right.
Okay, and actually, well, in minor tech news...
They flip-flop with their scores.
Yeah.
Minor tech news going off the page for a minute, but last week at a big to-do in Santa Clara, Intel announced their new dual-core processors. Core 2.
Yay.
Apparently it is the veritable shit. I have to check with the Extreme Tech guys.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't actually had a chance to test out a machine just yet. But
he said veritable
yeah.
before he said shit, so that makes
so
sense.
It kind of like
yeah.
diminished
right.
it a little.
Right.
Not quite.
When we curse, we're classy about it.
Exactly.
Except for the F-bomb I dropped on it.
That was like 2 minutes in, too. So.
What was it about? I knew
remember.
It was something worthwhile.
So
Battlefield?
Yeah, something like that.
So all I can say is I missed the song and dance at Intel last week, but I'm going to be getting the lowdown from Lloyd and Jason and hopefully have some performance numbers for you next week if you really give a crap.
Sure, we do. If it really does Yeah. Will the shit.
Yes.
Well, it's supposed to it on a lot of stuff and see if it has compatibility issues, because current dual core ones do.
Well, apparently from what I'm hearing is like this is gonna like it just basically leapfrogs AMD's latest right now. So we'll see. Okay. Yeah, we'll see. Nice.
That's well, we'll rattle those upgrade. Numbers off for you next week.
Yeah. For those who actually care about speeds and feeds,
we'll have Darren's spreadsheet half hour.
And yeah.
Then we'll read you a Sudoku puzzle.
3D mark score of.
Yeah, people can make a sandwich while they're listening.
7.5.
How many frames per second on the vertices test?
Originally, yeah. I was selling armor, and then I moved over to dual core processors as the convention goers. Seem to be more interested in dual core than Star Trek.
Wow.
Okay.
What was derailed that?
Not sure who that was.
I haven't signed kind of some kind
That's
of blood
Trekkies.
Sugar low here on the CGW podcast.
It's from the Go See the Documentary Trek.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
The chick that sells Star Trek cards instead of armor.
Right. Okay, go. Well, we're just about run down. Oh, Ralphie didn't read the letter. Do we want Ralphie
to come back in here?
Okay.
Ralphie, read it. I'm going to respond to it.
Here we go.
All right. Here's a letter from Miguel Raviza from Santa Barbara, California. Look at the way he says, I mean, your magazine is the best. I love it. But I wanted to share with you a truly original piece of hardware I don't think you will find anywhere else.
And we have a picture.
Wait a minute, I'm not done.
Sorry,
my buddy with the stringy long ponytail and his buddies love to play Medal of Assault multiplayer. Luckily, their hardware does not require them to buy 4 PCs or 4 consoles and 4 monitors. Just 1 monitor and some wood. You see, this version of the game splits the action into separate sections on the screen. The problem being everyone can see what everyone else is doing. This prompted my friend to invent what I'm sure is the world's first massively woody multiplayer experience. Basically a big blinder so no one can see what anyone
Hey Ralphie, did this say massively woody player experience?
Massively woody experience. Okay, so first off,
thanks,
look
Ralphie.
At this,
thanks, Ralphie. Take
okay,
it
so Mikael, dude, the guy says he loves our magazine. I'm not buying it because, for one, he's sending us a picture of them with the GameCube playing on a TV and what, like a bunch of plywood basically to divide the split screen up.
Yeah,
so they can't
CGW
cheat
readers don't do that
and peek at one another's screen. So one thing that's rad about this is that this is definitely not the first. Back when I worked at Electronic Gaming Monthly. Did console stuff. We got these for the letter section like every other month. It's just that they were cardboard instead of plywood because the guys weren't
right
wood shop yet. They're a little younger.
So so what we can tell, since we're looking at the photo and the listeners aren't,
it's a
TV divided up into 4 sections with plywood.
Right. And there's a section in the middle that tilts down, so you have to lay beneath
on the
TV.
Ground.
2 people lay beneath the TV and look up under it. Another guys look up over it at their quadrants of the screen.
There's mirrors in there.
And what's rad is the letter says, Ralphie said it plays, they play Medal of Assault with it, which is,
Medal of
sounds
Assault.
Like a pretty cool game. For
kind
one.
Of a giveaway.
But anyway, the other rad stuff about this picture, we'll post it on our forums.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we totally got to post it up.
On the wall, there's next to the Lazy Boy that one guy's playing in, there are pizza stains, pizza grease stains
we can
all over the wall.
Either that or some dude really needs to shower.
I'm thinking like they got pizza. And there's kettle corn chips in the foreground, a little cup that looks like it's got marijuana in it. And so it's like there's no napkins. The dude's
wiping
his fingers
hands on
and
the wall.
Boogers on the wall. Because his friend's like, dude, that's my new Lazy Boy. Do not mess that up.
Okay,
so he's like,
all
right. And just like sprinkle some fairy dust in the wall.
Let me see that picture again, dude.
But what else is noteworthy in here?
No, I think you got the major one.
We're only laughing because this is just a version of us.
Right, but it's like, dude, well, come on. He was bragging about it's this elegant solution over having to have 4 computers. Like, dude, you guys stay home.
The 6 or a beer and the weed makes it an elegant
solution. But if they do it at LAN, whoever's house it is doesn't have to worry about Mike over here wiping pizza crap on the wall. He can just, like, do it on his own wall.
Right.
They can play.
This is not an argument for why you should be playing console
multiplayer over
no, it's
PC
not.
Multiplayer.
This is not. This, yeah. this is a great advertisement for
PC
for
gaming.
PC gaming yeah. right here. Yeah. And you always hear that it's just so much more intimate when we're in the same room together. But it's like,
right.
that's what you get.
There you get.
Right. In fact,
I'm sure
just, like,
these guys are farting. The picture doesn't capture that. Everything else in that picture.
So really, some company like EA could take it for a Battlefield 2 ad and just post this photo and say, are you sick of this shit? Play Battlefield 2 online.
I want to. He said something else in the letter I didn't read. He said, could this be the next big thing? The only problem is that I can't think of a name for it. Oh. Any ideas? Yeah, my idea is your mom's house. A bunch of cardboard and
the
crap.
Basement.
Taped on the-
yeah. If this, I mean, if it was a joke, this photo, it would be fun.
No, that's serious. Those
actually,
are probably
you know,
cool
actually,
guys.
The fact that it's serious is even
no, they're
funnier.
Probably cool guys. The other thing, they're so cool that they sent out this mass mailing to probably every video game related publication in North America, hoping that at least one of them would show a picture and justify
and hey,
that their stupid, idiotic plywood crap on their TV is a good idea after all.
Hey, it's a little hostile, Sean.
I don't like that thing. I would burn it down.
angry man, it. Sean.
They're just like, trying. He's just trying to come up with a solution.
That's he's a nice TV they got it on, too.
He's a multiplayer purist.
It's ruined.
Yeah. Just cheat. Just
I play with
other.
Them.
Just
they invite me yeah. over. I
all
play.
Those damn console shooters they're playing have radar and crap anyway. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. They can't hide.
Well, that's sniper skills.
Especially Medal of Assault.
Sean's trying to start a war here.
Console gamers are weak.
I'm just playing. I like doing that. I just don't need plywood, cardboard, whatever that is.
You work off the honor system, yeah. man.
I just use couch cushions.
I have a sofa fort that keeps me
sofa fort.
Yeah, I'm being highly facetious. I do like all that stuff. I mean, remember how fun it was? It's like you're playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles together and you're like, come on, man, I'm gonna die. That was my pizza. Dude, I accidentally ran over it. I just ran in front of me. That stuff's fun. I
so
that.
Ninja looting back then even.
Yeah.
Okay, is our time winded down? Wound down?
It is winded down.
Winded down. Okay. We're done. We are done.
Yay.
Thank you for listening. Are we back next week? We are regularly scheduled time and place.
Oh, yeah. As far as the listeners know, we've never left.
Right. We've never left. So
we'll
be here again
next
week.
3 hours earlier. Ooh.
Yeah. This is going to go up tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Oh, but when they hear this and I say tomorrow,
yeah.
they're going to go,
you just created a time paradox.
Monday now.
You better sign off.
You just created a whole loophole.
Yeah. Okay, never mind. You're here. We're going to be posting this yesterday. How's that?
Now my head hurts.
I'm so done talking. Okay, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.